Everybody, welcome to the press. Good to have you with us. It's a little bit late for this week's show, but we are going to talk about the Travelers Championship, the final signature event of the year on the PGA Tour schedule. Get toward the playoffs portion of the year. This will be the last of those $20 million events that we have with the minimum 72-player field. And then we'll get some more $20 million events that just happen to be in the playoff portion of the schedule. So everything Travelers Championship today, we did an audio version of the show earlier today to talk about the KPMG Women's PGA Championship, the LPGA Major this week, a couple minutes on the Cauley Companies Championship, double major this week. We've got the PGA Tour Champions with a major this week out in Akron, Ohio. The old WGC Bridgestone is now a PGA Tour Champions Major. And we got Liv Dallas, so that's all covered in that episode. But this is all about Travelers Championship. So let's get right into it. Travelers Championship, the eighth and final signature event of the year. It is played once again at TPC River Highlands in Cromwell, Connecticut. There's an interesting backstory here, and I forget about this every year. I really just enjoy the tournament, don't think about the course too much. But this golf course opened in 1928, and it's had like three or four different names over the years. It became a TPC, I want to say like 1989 or something like that, like late 80s. And the original designers of this course are Robert J. Ross and Maurice Kearney, and they then had it, when once it kind of got to a different point in the 80s, the PGA Tour kind of got a hold of it. They brought in Pete Dye to redo large portions of this property, even though a lot of it doesn't look very Dye-ish if you kind of get really picky about it. But he did basically a renovation job on this golf course, like 1984, 85, somewhere in that range. But ultimately, this course is still one of the shortest on the PGA Tour. It's par 70. They've got nothing to expand. There's nothing they can add to. There's lots of houses on the property, so they really can't redo a lot of this. It's effectively a residential development. 6844 is the yardage. Again, not a lot there yardage-wise, but we'll talk about the course a little bit more. Again, $20 million purse, $3.6 million to the winner, and 700 FedEx Cup points to the champion this week. Let's start with the top of the table. I don't think any of these guys are surprising. Again, we have a 72-player field here. We keep hitting that minimum number on the PGA Tour for these signature events. Kind of makes me wonder if they're going to think about expanding it to maybe 81 or maybe 90. That'd be nice. But nevertheless, we got 72 this week. Pretty much everybody who's anybody's in the field. I think it's 47 of the world top 50 are competing this week. Liv's kind of down to a very limited number of players in the top 50 anymore. But Scottie Scheffler's plus 365 to win. I mean, depending on where you shop, this is an offshore book number, but probably plus 350 stateside. Let's just be serious. This is Scotty's tournament to lose. Every tournament is Scotty's to lose until further notice. If he had made six-footers, if he had made enough three-footers that he had missed at Oakmont, he's the U.S. Open champion. He's a two-time major winner this year and a four-time major champion. That's what it came down to. A guy who kind of lacks confidence in putting at times, struggling on a faster surface, struggling on slopier surfaces. This is not that kind of place. The targets are relatively small. Right? The targets off the tee are relatively small. There are some tight spots. There are also some pretty wide spots, but you can kind of do what you want. And Scheffler talked before the tournament about what he values in a test, right? He wants good shots rewarded, bad shots punished. Well, you get a lot more good shots rewarded at a venue like TPC River Highlands. So you're thinking about 20, 22, 24 under as the winning score for the week against a par of 70. So ultimately, you're thinking 260, 255 to 260 is what you've got to shoot here to have a chance this week, right? I mean, that's a lot. That's a low number. You got to go deep to have a chance this week. Scheffler's done it before. He's been a winner here. Colin Morikawa 16-1. Rory McIlroy 18-1. Feels like there's a lot more eyeballs now on McIlroy's behavior. What it means still seems to be open to a lot of interpretation. So I was at a media day for a course opening just yesterday, and that was the topic of conversation over and over again. What's wrong with Rory? Why is he acting like this? What's going on? I have no answers, just like the rest of you, right? I mean, it could be a variety of things. It seems like maybe someone had a come-to-Jesus talk with him of, hey, what's going on here? Like, why are you like this? You should be happy. Your life, at least professionally, as we know it, is in an incredible position. We don't know what's going on in your personal life, of course. He's trying to move from Florida to the UK. A year ago, basically, he was going to get divorced and then called it off, right? So is that still a thing? There's probably plenty of speculation more toward his personal life than his professional life. I think you can make this argument that McElroy did all the karmic thing, you know, the cosmic karma things right over the last number of years. Talked to people, frowned, smiled when he should have frowned or was natural to frown. He talked to media when he was upset. He was the face of the PGA Tour. Like, he did all those things, maybe in service of the universe, hoping that would pay off someday. Now that it has, like, well, I don't have to do that anymore. I don't think it's that simple, but I'll throw that explanation on the fire. Victor Hovland's 20-1. Xander Schauffele, past champion here, 20-1. Patrick Cantlay is your horse for course this week. We'll talk about him later some more, 28-1, along with Sepp Straka, who I think should get quite a bit of love this week. Similar kind of look and feel. I mean, please don't compare Philly Cricket to TPC River Highlands, but sort of similar feel and presentation of the golf course. Speed, greens, all that's very different, but this is the kind of place where Sepp should thrive. You got Tommy Fleetwood at 28-1. Again, we'll never bet him until he wins in America. Daniel Berger, 35. Keegan Bradley, 35. I think both those guys are great plays. I think Henley's an interesting play this week. Bermuda Burns is going to get some love, maybe as a kind of a bounce back win type of thing. JT was a non-factor at the weekend off, 45-1 at Oakmont. Aaron Rye, I think, is kind of interesting here, 50-1. Might be a little sneaky pick. Shane Lowry's bit me too many times, but I think Ben Griffin could continue the run here. He was kind of under the radar on the Sunday coverage of the U.S. Open, but he had a very, very nice week. To the opposite end of that, well, not the opposite end of the coverage. Cameron Young got plenty of coverage, but Cameron Young came out of nowhere, and he has not had much of a year to speak of, and now all of a sudden he's 55-1, whereas if we held this tournament 2 weeks prior to the U.S. Open, he'd be 150-1. Please do not let that fool you. Please do not let that happen. If he wins this week, kudos, but there's plenty more reason to not even look at his name than have him on a bet slip. Let's put it that way. Matsuyama's become just a guy after a great opening start of the year. Bobby Mack, 55-1. This feels like a Bobby Mack course, got to be honest with you. I mean, if you think about the places he's won, when he won in Canada, it was like that. This kind of similar setup, tighter, a little shorter, didn't necessarily favor a bomber. I mean, bombers can win here, obviously, but doesn't necessarily outright favor them. I think he's an interesting play. I did see someone mention kind of Spieth's numbers starting to kind of turn a little bit. I'm a little attuned to that. I think it's a little early in the process, but maybe he could show up at the Open and do some crazy things. Let's get to the model top 10, then we'll get to the remainder of the 72-player field. So we run this model every week, top 10 make available for free, because usually there's not really surprises over at golfnewsnet.com. But you can join for the rest of the list, all 1 to 72, $40 a year, $70 for 2 years, or $100 for 3 years. Scotty Scheffler's number one by an enormous margin. Rory McIlroy is next, and then Xander Schauffele has kind of fallen off from last year, so those points kind of starting to change a little bit. Patrick Cantlay's up there primarily as a horse for course. Like, he is the horse for course pick this week, other than maybe Brian Harman. And outside of that, I mean, Scotty and Xander, yes, because it's winners and they have multiple, you know, good finishes, but they're kind of in their own company, I guess. Tommy Fleetwood, fifth, which is an unfortunate circumstance because he doesn't win. Hideki Matsuyama, sixth. Colin Morikawa, seven. He's kind of fallen off a little bit recently, but this does seem like a kind of place that would work for him. But he's been, you know, we're 4 years into a winless skid at this point. Justin Thomas, eight. Corey Connors, nine. I think Corey Connors could do very, very well here. Sungjae Im, 10, I think is a believable bet. He's in that 60-1 range as well. So armed with that, you know, here's basically the rest of the field, the next couple of graphics. Brian Harman at 71, I think, is a play. Matt McNealy, I wish were a play. I want him to be a play here, but I don't think I can. Tom Kim at 85-1, kind of a last-minute guy. Bud Cauley at 90, I feel like, is a good play here. Harris English is a horse for course. Multiple top 15s in the last 5 years at 90-1. Really interesting stat that he is always made the cut in the U.S. Open. I think 12 appearances, the USGA said. Pretty impressive that he's been able to do that. He seems to find his best work on the toughest courses. This is unfortunately not one of those, but he does seem to like it. Nick Taylor, 91, is interesting. Tony Finau's had a better year than you might think, but 90-1 is going to be a pass for me. I think Denny McCarthy at 105-1 is very interesting to me. He showed some signs in the U.S. Open. He likes Northeast golf. I think that's the thing to get into. Andrew Novak's going to fly under the radar here. I don't know that this is a place for him, but I would probably go under Ryan Gerard instead at 115. I know he had a rough weekend at Oakmont, put that to the side. It was an opportunity for him on a bigger stage. I think he will learn something from it that's a positive in the end. So I'll put that to the side here. Maybe Davis Thompson. I do want to think about Mac Hughes a little bit. I was just talking to John Sherman at this event. He's kind of a data and analytics coach for Mac Hughes. And things were heading in the right direction, kind of sounded like. So, and we've seen that with the run at the Myrtle Beach Classic, which I'm not saying the dunes in here are the same place, right? They're very, very different, but kind of similar look and feel, not that long, somewhat tight landing areas. It's all about second shots. I mean, that's what Mac Hughes does. It's a wild world to see that Matt Fitzpatrick is also 125-1. I felt like we were starting to see a little bit of turnaround there, but that kind of got stymied a little bit, I think, at Oakmont. But Zayden Hoyer 135 is kind of interesting to me, but I probably won't play that. Now we're into the you're just happy to be here and get a free paycheck part of the signature fields. Kevin Hughes had a very nice year, but 135-1. Ricky Fowler, Ryan Fox 135-1, I think is bananas. I think you almost have to play that out of principle. He's won twice in what, 6 weeks, 7 weeks, and you're telling me that he's still 135-1. You have to bet it. Luke Clanton 165-1, freshly minted pro. He's got his TaylorMade stuff all set up. They had the announcements about that today on social media about his staff stuff. I mean, that was kind of a known, but that's out there. I think he might be able to shock the world here. I mean, this is a huge opportunity for him, being able to have a PGA Tour card at a PGA Tour U Accelerated to get into a signature event right out of the gate. This is a big chance for him, and I think he knows it, and he knows he's good enough to beat anybody in this field. I wouldn't be against betting Ryan Fox and Luke Clinton. Wyndham Clark, we will not bet Wyndham Clark until further notice. He is got a serious anger problem at this point, and you can feel how you want about him busting up the lockers at Oakmont. I'm sure there have been angrier things that have been done in that locker room in 100 years. However, doing it at U.S. Open just a couple weeks after looking like a buffoon at the PGA Championship, not a good look. There's something clearly wrong there. Please do not get within a mile of betting him for any reason, unless he's got a 5-shot lead with 9 to go on a Sunday and you want a minus 500 number. Then at that point, okay, fine. But that would be a shock to us all. Matty Schmidt's kind of interesting. Been playing pretty good golf. 250-1, I think a little deep for what he's in this week. Maybe if this were a different field, I could bet him. And then everyone after that is just happy to be there, I think. I mean, Gary Woodland has had some ups and downs, and I still think Houston was a great opportunity for him. He saved his career. He saved his card, you know, obviously very well with his season. But 350-1 seems about right, honestly, for his chances. I mean, if we're thinking about this week in reality, we're looking at Scheffler, Cantlay from a horse for course perspective. It should be a week where one of the kind of four or five best players winds up winning. But then we thought that about the U.S. Open, and look what happened there. So I think there's going to be a little kind of bettor's remorse. You know, like I said, we had JJ, but we didn't do a show last week about the U.S. Open. I was out in the Outer Banks. Internet connection stuff was weird, so it was kind of tough to put that together. JJ Spahn was 33rd in my model. That's about right for his odds, you know, 150 to 175, depending on where you were looking and what price you got and what time. That's a pretty fair assessment. But you get tournaments like that where you assess the field pretty correctly and then just that guy wins. It does happen. It's not like JJ Spahn should have been fourth or third. I think that was the right place for him. Just happened that way. But more often than not, especially in the current environment, the rankings are right and the result is pretty close to right, thanks to guys like Scottie Scheffler. I think that's more likely than not to happen this weekend. The odds reflect that, a plus 365. Some horses for courses, just to go over a little bit of deeper analysis about this. Scheffler, Shoffley, Cantlay, Harmon, Spieth, all guys we've already talked about to a degree. One way or another, I think all kind of viewed somewhat, you know, favorably. Course fits for this week. This is a really interesting TPC River Highlands is really interesting in that a lot of the strokes gained on this course, probably more than any on the PGA Tour, comes from putting. It's like a 48-52 putting tee to green split. It's insane. And there aren't many guys like that on the PGA Tour, but the guys that are in this field that have those kinds of fits are Max Homa, Sam Stevens, Harris English, Matt McNeely, which is kind of why I want to bet him here this week, and Wyndham Clark, who I will never, ever bet unless you force me. Some hot hands. So, guys, multiple top 15 finishes in the last five PGA Tour events played, or 10 PGA Tour events played, excuse me. Wrong graphic. Keegan Bradley, Sam Burns, Bud Cauley, Harris English, Ben Griffin, Bobby Mack, Taylor Pendrith, Scotty Scheffler, Matty Schmidt, Sepp Straka. I don't think those names are out of place. We've talked about a number of them already. Ben Griffin and Sepp Straka. Certainly we have Harris English as a horse for course. And a guy who had a nice U.S. Open, Bobby Mack. This is a course for him. Taylor Pendrith, in a way, it may be for him. But I don't really love that fit here. Keegan Bradley certainly makes a lot of sense. It was a big deal for him to win here a couple of years ago. Win it as a signature event. I think it was then a designated event. I forget when they changed that term. But it was a big deal for him. And he played pretty darn well at the U.S. Open. He gets amped up for this kind of stuff. Starting to think, hey, maybe I can make my own Ryder Cup team here. Right now, I think he would leave himself off. But if he wins this thing, maybe he puts himself on. And then there's a whole other set of discussions. I think he is trying to make this team. I don't think he has resigned himself to not. So I think there's a lot of reason to get behind him here this week. Talked about the last five champions of this tournament. Scottie Scheffler, Keegan Bradley, Xander Schauffele, Harris English. Dustin Johnson. Dustin Johnson was the COVID winner here. Remember when they came back from the break? This was the first event back, and they had all the protocols in place, and it was just crazy Wild West times. Dustin Johnson won that week, believe it or not. He does not seem like a fit for this course, but he did it. All right, so let's look at, instead of longer-term form, which is really the focus of my modeling, and look at short-term form, which is really a look at how players are playing now in terms of strokes gained in the aggregate, quality strokes gained, which is our measure of strokes gained multiplied by a factor related to the official World Golf ranking of an event's field, and then strokes gained on the approach. First two columns are kind of telling me, hey, you're beating the field consistently no matter how you do it. And then the quality strokes gained piece is going to tell me you're doing it against better competition than weaker competition. And then the strokes gained on the approach, you may not fit into the first two buckets, but if you're doing well on the approach, you're telling me you're doing a critical component of the game right. So you're either better driving or better putting away from doing something potentially spectacular. So let's kind of look it through all of these columns. You're going to see common names, right? You're going to see Scheffler, Straka, Griffin, Fleetwood, Keegan Bradley, Harry Hall's been up there, Siwoo Kim, Sam Burns, just playing very good golf lately. A couple other guys on there for the quality strokes game perspective that otherwise wouldn't be on there. Xander Schauffele, Shane Lowry, who has kind of fallen off in the strokes gained capacity, but is hanging in there because he's playing great competition consistently. Harris English is on that list of players who are doing great against the higher competition, or well enough against the higher competition to qualify for that. And then if you look at strokes gained on the approach, I just, again, kind of treat this separately, but Brian Campbell is up there. He's 750-1. This course, I'm going to talk myself into this, but this is the shortest course on the PGA Tour. He is the shortest hitter on the PGA Tour. If that's not a fit, I don't know what can be for Brian Campbell. He's gaining well on the approach, given that he's hitting longer clubs into every hole than every other person on tour, basically. Maybe there's something to be said for not having to hit the same long irons in every hole. Yes, everyone's still hitting shorter clubs than you, but if you're also hitting short irons and wedges, maybe it's a contest you can win. Crazy as that sounds, don't bet them. Just telling you, if you won a 750-1 bet, that's what you would say to yourself. Some other approach guys that aren't on the other lists, Eric Cole, Patrick Cantlay, who's putting and driving have been just atrocious this year. Akshay Bhatia is also on that list, who I think has the ingenuity to play this course that well. Strokes gained, tee to green leaders with low variance. We just kind of have this graphic in every show because I think it's helpful to know the guys that do gain a lot of strokes gained, tee to green. Putting is a huge variable. It's something you can and can't. If you are a great putter, you're probably consistently a great putter. Otherwise, there's a lot of up and down, right? There's a lot of variance in putting unto itself. Take that out of it for a second. Just say, okay, tee to green, who gains strokes consistently and does it at a level that's relatively high without a whole lot of up and down, right? Not as many waves. And those guys are pretty consistent too. Shane Lowry, Rory McIlroy, Scotty Scheffler almost qualified for our measure of this, just missed it by a little bit. Keegan Bradley, Justin Thomas, Daniel Berger, and Tommy Fleetwood. I think I've seen a number of people who tout that Daniel Berger is a good pick this week. Don't hate it, wouldn't be against it. Let's get into top 20 percentage leaders. So in the last 50 events on the PGA Tour, did you finish in the top 20, 40% of your events or better? It's a big list. Signature event makes sense. This is the best of the best. But if you want to look toward the tail end of this graphic, toward the bottom right of the graphic, think about a Sam Burns, maybe a Mav, maybe a Russell Henley for a top 20, maybe an Aaron Rye. The top 20 bet may be a decent value this week. Again, 72 players, no cut. That market's not going to be as juicy or interesting because you get four rounds regardless. But if you're thinking about those kind of derivative bets this week, at least consider those. But in terms of a consistency sake, these are your most consistent players in high finishes. Obviously, about the more on the upper left of this graphic, the Schefflers, McIlroys, Morikawas, those guys are close to 80% in the top 20. And then you kind of get into the Cantlays and below, and you know, high 50s, low 50s. Then overall on the right is about, you know, 40 and above, 42 and above, something like that. But that's still a high clip. That's still impressive golf. And then for your first round leader friends, let's talk about this event's first round leaders. You have some interesting mix there. And then the last 50, I don't think any of those are surprising, except maybe Mackenzie Hughes being surprising on that list. Cam Davis, too, could be worth a look at the end of the day. So that's everything. That's everything. Travelers Championship. This is an interesting one because you've got a quality field. You've got a course a lot of players like. It is demanding, but it's also very scoreable. It's kind of a tournament of complexity to it. Even though it seems very straightforward and easy, you're playing a 6,800-yard golf course. I mean, if you're having a good day, you're going to light it up. 58 is possible. 57 is probably possible here. I wouldn't be surprised if someone challenges 60 in the first 2 days at all. And yet at the same time, if you're playing pretty poorly off the tee and you make a lot of mistakes in your approaches, it'll eat you up and it'll make you look pretty bad. It's a very interesting course. I really like the tournament. It's run very well. Nathan Grubb, who is the tournament director, has been fabulous over the years. He does an excellent job. And this has been a really cool tournament for the Hartford part of the world, the Connecticut community. Back when I used to work at Back Nine Network, you know, this was a big week for Back Nine Network for the couple of years that it really existed. And I really appreciate this tournament. All right, that's going to do it for us this week on the show. Thank you so much for watching or listening. You can watch the show on our YouTube channel. Listen to it as an audio-only version on the Golf News Net radio channel, or you can go to the Golf News Net channel, watch the show on the video version. You can watch the show on Golf News Net TV, available for FreeCast, Free Live Sports, and Zeem. And you can watch it on the Golf News Net app for Roku and Amazon Fire. You can also watch our website, golfnewsnet.com. Catch us on your favorite podcast platform of choice. Email me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com, with questions. I am on Twitter at Ryan Ballingy. Other handles, Ryan Ballingy Golf on Facebook and Instagram. Join Golf News Net for $40 a year, $70 for 2 years, $100 for 3 years over at golfnewsnet.com. And I think that's everything for this week. So thank you so much for your time. Thanks for listening. Good luck with all your bets this week. Hopefully it's a winning week for you, and we'll see you next week right here on The Press.